Hey there, welcome to the Happy Habit Podcast. I'm your host, Matthew Norrie. On this podcast, we like to talk health and well-being. We do it every Monday and Thursday without fail. We've been doing it for 2 years now, fast approaching 220 episodes and all manner of subjects. And if you're getting value from this podcast series, please consider subscribing and sharing with other people who you think might enjoy these episodes. I keep coming back to the teachings of psychologist William James. He tells us the greatest weapon against stress is our ability to choose one thought over another thought. Look, I, like everyone else, suffer from stress. You aren't human if you don't. Indeed, today we are told we are more stressed than ever, but the irony is that the stress we endure today isn't directly as a result of a threat to our lives, our existence. I actually believe our ancestors had to contend with far more stress, like plagues without the benefit of science or vaccines. They had to contend with wars, and merely putting food on the table was an achievement. In fact, surviving childhood in years past was an achievement in itself. We know life expectancy for centuries was drastically lower than it is today. 2,000 years ago, in classical Greece, believe it or not, the average life expectancy was only 25 years of age. 25. In the Middle Ages, it rose to between 30 and 35. Even as recently as the 18th century in England, the average life expectancy was a shocking 40 years of age. My point is, people in the past had to contend with a multitude of physical stressors that cut their lives short. On top of this, they had to deal with the psychological impact of losing loved ones, very often in childhood. So stress, physical and psychological, loomed large over our predecessors. Yes, we suffer from stress today. Of that, there is no doubt. But it's, for the most part, psychological stress. Very few people listening to this podcast will struggle to feed themselves today or are contending with living in a war zone. No, much of our stress is caused by us and our inability to deal with our thoughts and our emotions. We know the mind is always thinking thoughts. We said this before. Indeed, it's constantly looking for problems to solve. And it seems that it's more than happy to create a problem out of nothing, to simply give itself something to do. How often have we heard the line, "What are you worried about? You have nothing to worry about. You're blowing this out of proportion." We have a tendency to catastrophize things. We see worst case scenarios, which the brain absolutely loves in one sense because it gives us a huge problem to focus our attention on. Now, we can devote our mental energies to tying ourselves up in mental knots, posing what if scenarios over and over again. In fact, I misspoke earlier when I said the brain looks for problems to solve. Solve is the wrong word because solving rarely happens. The brain simply wants to have something to chew over, like bubblegum, that's never actually broken down, but simply reconstituted over and over again endlessly. This is us thinking of our problems, and this is what contributes to our stress. We see a problem as a threat. This sets us up to be hypervigilant. We're in a fight-flight mode, which, if long-lasting enough, can become chronic hypervigilance. Our stress hormones, like cortisol and adrenaline, are flowing all the time, and we find it difficult to relax. In some cases, anxiety might accompany that stressed feeling and the hypervigilance. Yet all of this is happening because of how we are processing our world. We aren't under any physical threat at all, unlike our predecessors. But psychological stress can be insidious, especially over the long term. This is where the damage can really accumulate. Psychological stress can manifest itself in the body as high blood pressure, strokes, heart attacks. It can even deplete our immune systems, leaving us prone to all manner of infections. It can degrade our energy levels, dial down our libido. It can impact our view of life and of ourselves. Ultimately, it can rob us of the ability to enjoy life and live life to the max. And when we are feeling stressed, we seek ways to dial down that stress. We resort to quick fix solutions, external fixes like drink or drugs or food. All of these things are sought out to help soothe our stressful woes. But while they provide short-term comfort to the symptoms, they don't deal with the origin of the problem, and that's our inability to deal with our day-to-day lives. Remember, we aren't under direct attack like our ancestors might have been from predators or marauding invaders. Today, our basic needs of food, shelter, and water are all catered for. No, our stressors are for the most part self-generated. Because even when we do experience a legitimately stress-making external event, we now have the benefit of knowledge. We know that we can, in fact, reframe a stressful situation, and rather than see it as a threat to us, we can see it for what it is and learn from the circumstance. Say, for example, someone rear-ends your car. It's a potentially stressful event, yes. We can react in one of two ways. We can see it as a catastrophic attack on us and tie ourselves up in mental and emotional knots, suggesting that the universe has it in for us and become weighed down for weeks and months by the burden of that split-second incident. Or we can see it for what it is, a random act that thankfully resulted in no injuries and one which will, after a few phone calls, be dealt with by the mechanic and or the motor insurance company. Is the car crash convenient? No, but is it worth seeing it for what it is and reframing any potential catastrophe? Yes, absolutely. But reframing takes real discipline. One's instinct is to wring one's hands, lash out, react as if one has experienced a great injustice. How dare that person rear-end my car? They could have killed me, etc. But to do this is to feed the brain's desire to chew over a problem. And remember, chewing is not solving. So one has to catch one's mind before one descends into that rabbit hole of angst-ridden thought. We do this by dispassionately standing back from our situation and asking ourselves some very simple questions. Will it benefit me to feed this angst, worry, or concern? Once our physical safety is assured, we recognise the unpleasantness of the situation and we allow ourselves a moment to react. But our reaction doesn't need to be a negative one. We can, in fact, recognise how lucky we were not to be injured. How lucky we were to be able to afford a car and motor insurance for such events in the first place. When we coldly stand back and rationally process a potentially stressful event, one that could leave a negative mental imprint on us for years, when we process the moment sensibly, we rob it of much of its negative energy and power to tether us to that potentially traumatic incident. But we can't do this without allowing ourselves a brief moment to recognise our emotions and listening to our bodies. A great way to allow ourselves some space and time as we process what has happened in that stressful moment is to breathe. Focusing on the breath allows our parasympathetic nervous system to activate, and this is the opposite of our sympathetic or fight-flight nervous system. It gives us control over our breath and instills a sense of calm over our thoughts. We come to associate this potentially stress-causing incident with a moment of clarity and control. It allows us to gain perspective over what has just happened, instead of our minds wildly racing and ramping up our fight-flight response. The car crash is a simple example of how we can gain control over how we react to and process potentially stress-making life events. We encounter such events all the time, so it's important we have a strategy to deal with stressors every time they present themselves. If we don't process stressors consciously and reframe them and rob them of their power over us, they take control, and we then suffer the hardship of not just enduring the stressor, but also seeking out many of those external things that help us relieve our stress in the aftermath. This is where stress becomes chronic and so damaging. One's commitment to conquering one's stress must be unrelenting. We must always be seeking to negate its impact on us. Now, if people say, "But that's too hard," the news is that you're already doing the opposite anyway. So why not redirect your mental energies into quenching the fire of stress instead of fueling that very fire through your thoughts and stress mitigation habits, like drinking excessively, eating unhealthily, etc.? William James says our greatest weapon against stress is our ability to choose that one thought over the other. Simply choosing to seek that alternative thought and reframing what would normally be a stress-inducing event is enough to establish a habit of rejecting stress in your life. But this isn't a quick fix. Rejecting stress is a lifelong commitment. And before you think to yourself that it sounds like so much effort, remember, you've already become an expert in feeding stress, purely through how you react and respond to your world. Simply redirect that energy so that it helps you rather than hinders you. Well, thank you for listening to this edition of the Happy Habit Podcast. Until next time, stay happy.